And thank you, Brother Kincaid, for inviting me to come be in this World Missions Conference. To me, it's a special blessing. Brother Kincaid is talking about the devil being on this side of town. I tell you, he's on every side of town. Amen. He just moves around a lot. And really, I don't think he or I, either one, have it as bad as the pastor I heard about just really this last week. And this, I forget one of the towns here in Texas, but you know, the local television station, there was just one there. And they, of course, had been hearing about all these preachers falling into, you know, into various problems and all the scandals. And so they thought that they'd go out and check out their local preacher there and see if they couldn't find some scandal on him. And so they staked out his house every night, and, you know, night after night he'd get through with, you know, reading his scripture and doing whatever he did, and they'd have their meal and they'd go to bed and just, you know, very uneventful. But they kept staking out the house. And one night, sure enough, they finally struck pay dirt. They thought because, after they'd gone to bed and the lights had gone out, about an hour after that, the lights came on and they saw this. And what they didn't know, that inside the house, a bat had got in somehow inside the house. And this pastor and his wife woke up and something was going thump against the wall and flying to the other side, all bung, bang, bang, you know, how a bird gets wild inside a house, you know. And so this pastor got up, he went in the broom closet and got a broom out and came in there, and of course this light's on and he's silhouetted against the window shades. He's saying, "Get out of here, little bat! Get out of here, little bat!" Well, so they had their expose on the local preacher. Amen. Open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. You've heard the term that we ought to dance with the one that brung us. I don't know whether you understand what that term means or not. I'm not even sure I understand what it means. I know how I apply it. I know that there are many things that we see that we begin with, and we see that God blesses and it works and it's right. And yet many times we as churches and we as Christians, we somewhere get down the road in our Christian life and we begin to think maybe there's a different way, or maybe there's a better way, or maybe there's an easier way, and we depart from that which really brought us to where we are, and we really begin to miss out. And many churches that go up to a certain size and have a certain amount of success and then just kind of stagnate and just stop at a certain point, don't realize that what they do is they stop dancing. You forgive that I'm not a dancer, all right, but they stop dancing with that which brung them, all right? They stop doing that which they started out doing in the very beginning. The thing that built this church, the thing that has built every church like ours and like yours, is really the matter of soul winning. I mean, just going out door to door to door to door. And we started back 1958. 31 years ago, and even though we were taught many things in Bible college, we were not taught how to start a church. I didn't know how to start a church. And yet God called us to start a church, and we came here not knowing how to do it, and we did it really, it wasn't according to what they say you ought to do. I found out later you're supposed to get six or eight families together who are interested in starting a church, and, you know, and then find a location. And together pool your money and rent a place and then go out as a group and start trying to reach other people. Well, we didn't know that, so we just rented a building, just Doris and I, and started just she and I. But what we did do that was right, and this is what I'm getting at tonight, is we started just down one street, knocking on the first door and the next door and the next door and the next door. And then we crossed and came back up the other side of the street, knocking on the doors, and then went down the next street and right on down and back up the next. And that's really what got us, that's what really got us started, that's what kept us going. And yet, you know what happens many times, we get to thinking maybe there's an easier way. Maybe there's a better way. And we think, you know, maybe there's a shortcut or something, you know. And who, you know, who likes to go out and knock on doors and get cussed out and all that? Well, I don't. But I'll tell you what, I do like reaching people. And yet, somehow here in Ephesians chapter 6, I think that we miss out as we read the scripture, and of course what I'm looking at tonight is the latter part of chapter 6 where it talks about the whole armor of God. Where we are told to put on the whole armor of God. W-H-O-L-E, all of it. Put on all the armor. And what I think is that many of us who at one time had on the whole armor of God, today don't have on the whole armor of God. And we're missing a very important part. And even though and it is a very important part, and yet somehow we are not aware of it because it's kind of in a very inconspicuous place, and that is way down on the ground. It is our feet. You see, here in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about having on the helmet of salvation. And you know, you'd be very much aware if you didn't have the helmet on, you're going out to battle. It talks about having on the breastplate of righteousness. You certainly be aware if you didn't have on your breastplate. Amen. It talks about having your loins girt about, you see, and you know if you didn't have that all covered up. But also talks about having on the gospel shoes.
Amen. Amen.
Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now let me tell you something. This is something that is so simple. It is profound. It really is. And we need to see this tonight. And I hope God will help us to see it and help me to see it even clearer than I've seen it about the importance of the gospel shoes. All right, let me read with you the scripture tonight, verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 6. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. By the way, that's for everybody, every Christian. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. It's talking about withstanding, brother, sister. The Christian life, a lot of it is withstanding. The devil is as a roaring lion. He does go about seeking whom he may devour. And brother, we have to be able to withstand as well as stand. Amen. I'll tell you, all hell breaks loose, brother, when the devil gets around because he's from hell. Amen. And he says in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and walking thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, we have on the helmet of salvation. We have on the breastplate of righteousness. We have our loins girt about with the truth. We have the sword of the Spirit. We have the shield of faith, and we're barefooted. Most of us. We don't have on the gospel shoes that God said we need to have on. Now what I'm saying is this, if we don't have on the whole armor of God, then we are vulnerable, we're open, we're subject to being mortally wounded by the devil. Amen? I mean, brother, where? In our feet. You see, the devil's trying to get to us, and even though we may be clothed all the way down to our feet, we're still not clothed until we get our feet clothed with those gospel shoes. And the gospel shoes are simply this. It really means going in those gospel shoes. That's what it's talking about. I mean, when you and I stop going, we're barefooted.
Amen, brother. That's right. Amen.
When you and I stop going, we're barefooted.
Amen.
You see, it's not just knowing what you ought to do. It's not even saying, I believe in soul winning. It's not even saying, my church believes in soul winning. It's you and me and you and me and us and all of us soul winning, individually soul winning. And if we don't do it, we're barefooted.
That's right.
And brother, a lot of Christians have fallen, brother, wounded, mortal wounded, and really wounded by the devil, and the devil's gotten them not in their heart, not in their lungs, not in their kidneys, not in their head, but in their feet.
Amen.
And brother, laid out. And that's where a lot of churches are tonight. They're laid out.
Amen.
I mean, a lot of churches started right, and then they thought, well, you know, we've grown beyond that. We don't need to do that anymore. We've got buildings now. We've got all these things to attract people. Folks, let me tell you something. Buildings don't attract people.
That's right.
I mean, nothing about architecture is going to attract people for very long.
Amen.
I tell you what attracts people is you attract people.
Amen.
When you go out and you go after people. Amen.
Amen.
And the whole New Testament, brother, is a picture of going out after them. Of God's people going out after us. I mean, that's what a church is. I mean, brother, you know, Dr. Lee Robertson up there in Tennessee hung outside his church years and years ago. He hung out a traffic signal light. You know, has a red, a yellow, and a green light. And he has a green light on. It's a church of go. Amen. I mean, the green light is on go. Amen. I mean, there it is. Brother, every church ought to be a church of the green light. Amen. A lot of churches are the church of the caution light, you know. And a lot, of course, are the church of the red light, you know, stop. But hey, we ought to be the church of the green light. Go. Amen. And go. And go. Going, brother. And keep going. And keep going. And yet, we don't have on the gospel shoes. I'm saying every one of us need to have on the gospel shoes. You know, in Romans chapter 10, and you know, we read Romans 10:13 a lot, and some of us, of course, even read verse 14, and yet verse 15, the Bible says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? And then notice, as it is written, how beautiful are the faces of them that preach the gospel of peace. Doesn't say that, does it? Not in the King James, it anyway.
Right.
How beautiful are the feet.
Amen.
The feet. How beautiful are the feet? Yeah. Beautiful feet. Why are they beautiful? Because they brought the message.
Right.
Amen. It's the feet that take the man, that take the person. Amen. I mean, thank God for shoes that they're shod with the preparation of the gospel, brother. These are going shoes, see? These are running shoes, see? These are not house shoes. These are not lounging shoes. These are gospel shoes, see? They're going shoes, amen? I mean, brother, we got wings on them, amen? We've got to go.
Amen?
And if we don't have on the gospel shoes, and the gospel shoes is simply the attitude of heart and the action of the Christian of going. And when I stop going, I say to the devil, go ahead and get me. Go ahead, get me.
Yeah.
There you are, get me.
Yeah.
Huh? And he'll get you, I promise you. In fact, when you stop going, he's got you. Amen.
Amen.
When the church stops going, he's got that church.
That's right.
Thank the Lord for sending missionaries.
Amen.
But we can never say we have sent missionaries and we've got this done and we've achieved this place and now we can kind of catch our breath. We've reached the plateau. We can kind of stop here and rest a while. And while you're resting, you're slipping backwards.
That's right.
There's no resting place. There's no stopping place for a child of God. There's no stopping place for a church. I mean, brother, it's go.
That's right.
And go. And just keep on going. There's several things tonight that I want to share that I believe we need that'll help us to put the gospel shoes back on, or if we got them on to keep them on. You know, is it making a visit a very simple thing? You know, when I go out and get out of my, drive down the street or walk down the street or whatever and get out of my car and go up and knock on the door, what am I doing? I'm making a visit. I mean, people I don't know, I'm making a visit. Isn't that a simple thing? And yet, wrapped up in that simple thing is the greatest thing in all the world, because I'm taking the gospel to them.
Right.
Whether it's in Mexico, as these brethren are doing, some of these brethren are doing, or whether it's in San Antonio where we're doing it, or whether it's in Timbuktu where others are doing it. Brother, it's a simple thing, and yet it's such a marvelous thing. We are taking the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just making a visit.
That's right.
Amen? Just making a visit. And you know, I thought about that. That's what we started doing, just visiting. Brother Kingate, visiting, just going door to door, visiting, door to door. And I thought that's what we start out with. That's what's always been, which has helped us really keep going forward. And yet, as I said, it's so easy to stop doing that.
Right.
And start trying maybe, well, let's do it through the printed page. Well, thank God for the printed page. Brother, I use it everywhere I can. In fact, I use everything I can that's good. But there is nothing in this world that will ever take the place. I don't care television.
Right.
I mean, brother, I mean billboards. I mean, brother, PA systems, you know, going down the street or dropping stuff out of airplanes. Nothing can ever take the place of just getting on those gospel shoes and just going
Amen.
Down the street and knocking on the door. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And I thought about this word visit. I thought about that word. And I thought, you know, wrapped up in that word, I believe is really what is involved in this matter of God, the gospel shoes. I mean, the word, the letters, V-I-S-I-T, visit. I believe it wrapped up there is what we need somehow tonight to think about. The first word, the first letter is the word, the letter V, vision. We need vision. We need vision. I mean a vision tonight of those untold millions we sang about. We got to do more than sing. God help us to sing, but God help us to let the songs and the words of the song and the truth of the song grip our heart. We need vision tonight. God give us a vision. God give us a vision of those that Brother Billy preached about. Those that are caught up with the idols, and those that are being deceived by the priest, and God give us a vision of that. We must have vision. We must have vision here in San Antonio. It's really no different. It's just different clothes and different garb and different words, but it's the same thing. Brother, everybody, brother, in this world tonight is either saved or not. They're either going to hell. Everybody is everybody. And brother, we need a vision of that.
That's right.
Brother, when we see a man, brother, we should not see him as some people do. A businessman sees a man, he sees a customer. Huh? Amen. I mean, a mortician sees a man, he sees a potential client.
Yeah.
Boy, he thinks, well, one day, you know, I'll be the last one to let you down. Amen. A politician sees a vote.
Yeah.
But we as God's people need to see a soul.
Yeah,
a soul that Jesus died for.
Amen.
We need to see beyond this exterior and see him, a precious soul for whom Jesus died. Oh God, give us a vision.
Amen.
Oh listen. Jesus said, and I want you to look at it with me, there in the book of John. And I know that you've read it many, many times, but I want you to look at it just for a moment with me. The fourth chapter of John and the 35th verse. And here's what Jesus said. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, get it now, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Lift up your eyes. Oh, listen, you know where our eyes are? Most of us, our eyes on our little piddling self. We're looking at ourselves and our circumstances and our situation. You know, I need this and I need that and we've got this little problem. And man, I'm telling you what, we're wrapped up in a little world that is containing about, you know, in about what, 10 or 15 inches it goes around us. That's about our world. And Jesus said, and you know, we're going around thinking about, well, we need this, our church needs that, my family needs this, my business. Listen, Jesus said, lift up your eyes.
Amen.
Get your eyes up and look on the fields that are white around your house. Get your eyes up of your little circumstance and situation.
Amen.
Brother, what in the world is going to make 100 years? Now, brother, what about the fact that, brother, we have some little piddling needs, brother? What difference in the world, brother? I thought today, driving over, I thought, man, we let little old tiny piddling things disturb us and bother us that don't amount to a hill of beans. Brother, we need to get our eyes up to people and see those people out there, the much world, brother, who are without Christ or without God. Brother, we're not talking about games. We're not talking about things that don't matter. Things that are simply temporal. We're talking about eternal matters, brother. Eternal matters. People for whom Jesus died. And we need to get a vision of that.
That's right.
Amy Carmichael had a vision of that. Amy Carmichael had a vision. And in her vision, she saw a waterfall, but the waterfall was a waterfall of people sweeping over, going down, multiplied millions of people like a great river running. But instead of it being water, it was human beings falling over and going down and down. And it just kept coming and kept running and going down to perish. And she saw out here off beside the river, she saw most of God's people. I mean, involved with pettiness,
right,
with nothing.
Amen.
And yet people are going to eternal Christ and his eternity, sweeping over out of all the people, brother. And somehow she said she heard the cry, and it was a cry of the blood of these perishing souls. Oh, that somehow we might have a vision.
Amen.
We might lift up our eyes and see what Jesus saw. Amen?
Amen.
I'll tell you one thing. If we ever see what Jesus saw, I believe we'll do what Jesus did.
Amen.
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 A vision.
Amen.
God, give us a vision tonight. You know, the second letter is the letter I. And I believe with all my heart that not only do we need to have a vision, but I believe we need to have an itch. I'm talking about a divine itch.
Amen.
Did you ever get an itch somewhere that you couldn't scratch? I mean, really, did you ever, you know, you can't reach it, or you scratch where it's at and it just keeps itching? Huh? And you keep just scratching and somehow that itch is still there. Or maybe it's something you're hungry for and you go in the refrigerator and you nibble on this and nibble on that. And nothing you can eat, you could travel the whole world over, you think probably, and eat a little of everything, and never, it's not satisfied. There's an unsatisfied, we need to have a divine itch tonight.
Amen.
Brother, a divine itch to go out and reach these who are lost. I want you to look with me, if you will, in the Gospel of Mark chapter 1 and verse 37. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. Listen, Jesus had a divine itch to go out and to reach people. That is, it was something that would not allow him to settle down in one place and just, I mean, go over and over the gospel again and again with the same old people. Amen. They said, hey, listen, there's another crowd gathered tonight. They want to hear you again. He said, they've already heard me one time.
I'm going to the next towns. Because you see, in those next towns, there's others who need to hear me. And what we do in our churches tonight is, brother, in most of our churches, is that we're satisfied to get us a crowd who wants to hear us again.
Yeah.
Huh?
Amen.
And again. And again. You know, and that's all right if you're getting new ones to add to that crowd. But many folks are satisfied just to have a crowd. Amen?
Right.
But oh, there ought to be that divine itch to go out and to reach those who've never heard. Somehow, oh God, don't let us, I don't care if the house is packed out. If every chair is full.
Right.
I mean, if we're from one. Listen, my friend, that's a drop in the bucket in a city of San Antonio.
Amen.
Or Saltillo or San Luis Potosí or whatever. Drop in the bucket of all right there. Brother, we ought to have a divine itch. Oh, I need to go to the next one. I've got to go.
Amen.
There ought to be in us that divine heart to reach out and keep
right.
going, brother,
amen.
Until we've taken the gospel to every creature.
Amen. Yes.
Every creature. We should never be satisfied.
Right.
Brother, I'll just keep itching us. Oh, yes, I'm going to the next place. I'm going to the next house. I'm going across the next block. I'm going out this next town. I'm going to the next village. I'm going.
Amen.
Jesus had that. We need to have that. You know, a lot of young preachers, and probably a lot of young missionaries sometimes mistake. They get to look at some of the older preachers or older missionaries and they see they're successful in what they're doing and they get to watching them to see what's the secret of their success. And many times they miss the mark. Many times they zero in on some peculiarity or some idiosyncrasy of that preacher and they think, that's it. I mean, that's why he's successful. Man, you know, he runs up down the aisles, and that's why people come to hear him. That's why he's building a church, or why he's reaching lots of people. That's not it.
Right.
He's got a divine itch.
Amen.
He's going out after them. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, they say, well, he does, you know, he has certain things, the way he preaches, you know. He may jump up and swing from the chandeliers. Man, that's it. I need to do that. No. Listen, brother, you and I need to have that holy desire to reach out to more and other people on down
Amen.
Our street and on down our block and throughout our city. And Brother Kincaid, you and I should never be satisfied until we've gone and gone and gone to every house in this city, or at least with God's help, I mean, to everyone we can.
That's right. Amen, brother.
And missionaries, you should never be satisfied. I mean, brother, sister, we should just keep going to the next towns and the next towns and next towns. Not only should there be a vision, not only should we have a divine itch, but there should be that searching. Searching. I want you, if you will, to turn your Bible to Luke chapter 15. You know the account, don't you? The man that had 100 sheep, and he lost one, and he went out seeking for that one sheep. And later in the chapter, the man that had 2 sons, and one went into the far country. But also in the middle of those 2 parables, there's an account about the woman that had the coins, and she lost one of them. And what does the scripture say? She swept and swept and swept until she found it. Don't miss that tonight.
Amen.
God doesn't just put things in there just to be filling up pages and just to say something. God has in there because He has something to say. And He's saying to us tonight that we need to be searchers like that woman was. We need to look for souls like she did. Brother, we need not only have a vision, and we ought to have a holy itch to go after them, but brother, we need to go out and search and search until we can find them, until we can win them, until we can reach them. Amen. Brother, she swept and swept and swept until she found it. And I'm saying to you and I tonight that we need to be like that in trying to reach people. We need to go, brother, to every length that we need to. We need to leave no stone unturned. We need to pay any price that's required, brother, and sweep and sweep until we find that
Amen.
Precious soul.
Amen.
And then sweep and sweep until we find another.
Amen.
And sweep and sweep until we find another. Someone says, well, this town's too hard. Can't win people to God here. Man, these folks don't want the Lord. No one can be saved here. Have you swept all the corners? Have you swept all the corners? Did you look really like that woman did? Man, she lost something valuable to her. And she said, I got to find it. And man, she swept under the chairs, and she swept under the table, and she swept under the bed. And sure enough, boy, she's sweeping there under the bed one day, and she her broom hit something and said, jingle, jingle. And she's, there it is. Praise God. There it is.
Amen.
And she swept it out, boy. And there it was. She pulled out and said, man, looky there. Amen. Brother, if we could only see precious souls like that and say, oh, listen, man, more valuable than anything in all of
Amen.
God's world, brother, is to see a soul come to Jesus. And I'm going to sweep and sweep and go and look and work and search and death until I find that soul.
Amen.
And then I'm going after another one. And another.
Amen.
And another. Oh, we'd love to get them. We'd love to get them in the dozens. We'd like to get them, you know, by 100 at a time. Amen. Let's have a mass crusade and let's get everybody saved in town at one time. It don't work that way. Amen. You don't get them all saved in the neighborhood at one time. You go out after them one by one. That's where you win them, one by one. I know you know that. I'm not telling you something you don't know. But I'm saying this, brother, that we need to keep being searchers.
Amen.
Or digging them out.
Amen.
Man, when you dig them out, I'll tell you. And when you finally get that broom there and get that sinner out. And someone says, I want to be saved. Man, I'll tell you what, you say, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Look here. Look
Amen.
Here. Amen. Now, I'll tell you something, folks, and I'm not just saying this. These are not just words I'm spinning out of my mouth. There is nothing in this world that has ever blessed me or blesses me today or thrills me today like seeing someone saved. I've had a lot of good things done for me. I've seen a lot of great things happen. I've had a lot of fantastic things given to me, but nothing has ever been put in my hand that thrills me
Amen.
Like that precious coin,
Amen.
That sinner that I get out from under somewhere, I sweep and find it, and I say, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I was out this past week and swept and swept. I sweep every week. Man, I'm sweeping. And sure enough, on Saturday, boy, it was late. I need to get home and study. Boy, but there's something inside me, an itch. Yeah. Man, I couldn't scratch it, an itch. And I kept going from house to house. And I finally knocked on the door and went in. There was a fella. Boy, you talk about caught up in paganism and superstition and all that. And yet I tell you, man, as I swept, swept in his house there. Boy, I'll tell you what, finally I heard a jingle. I said,
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. The fellas, I said to him, wouldn't you trust Christ today? I mean, wouldn't you turn from all that superstition, all that business, and wouldn't you turn to Christ today? If you'll do it right now, give me your hand. And he stood there, boy, and sweat popped out. Man, you ever see a man sweat like that? Sweat running down his face, man. Man, it was a struggle. And all of a sudden, his old hand came out, and he put a hand in mine. And I bowed my head, and I prayed with him. I said, praise God.
Amen.
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 And I found that coin.
Amen.
Oh, my friend, I'm saying today, brother, we need to be searchers and just keep searching and keep searching. And I found this out, brother, you don't win people to Jesus easy. You can't be a soul winner, brother. I mean, accidentally. Oh, every once in a while, you may get someone, brother, just about to fall off the tree. But I tell you, most of them I find I have to sweep, brother.
Yeah, amen.
I got to sweep and sweep and look and search. But I tell you, when I find one, man, I'll tell you what, I got my car and I went home, man. I tell you, I don't care what, you know, what's going on in the world. I don't care, brother. I mean, what the airlines are striking about. I don't care, brother, what they're doing in Mexico about the debt, brother. I'm just saying, hallelujah,
amen.
Brother. I found that car. Thank God, brother. No. That from us. Searching. Searching. And then the fourth letter in that word, visit. Boy, visit, just a simple thing. Just visit. Just go visit. That's what we're doing. That's what the church is to do. To visit. That's what the Great Commission is. Go.
Amen.
That means visit.
Amen.
Just visit. I mean, knock on doors, however you want to call it. Ring doorbells. But the fourth letter is the word I. And I think about the invitation. You know, we've got the greatest invitation to the greatest thing in all the world. Man, what an invitation we have. And I want to tell you tonight, that invitation is all inclusive. Everyone is included. And no one's excluded. And praise be unto God, no one can change that. Brother, it is whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Whosoever will. Amen. Brother, I'm a whosoever. And you are a whosoever. And every man, woman, boy, and girl down the street is a whosoever will. And brother, God said, brother, listen, come. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, come, all heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.
Amen.
Come to me. Come to me. That's what Jesus said. And the Bible said the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that's athirst come. Let him that heareth say, come. You see, that's where I'm at. I heard, and I'm saying, come. I'm out there, I'm with that divine itch, brother, searching, I'm saying, come. 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 Amen.
Amen.
Come. Sweet. Come. Amen. Come. Can I come? You can come. Can I come? Yes, you can come. Am I included? Yes. Come on. Amen. Well, I tell you, one of the greatest things I ever heard, it just illustrates what I'm saying. One day, Brother Bob Smith, y'all know Brother Bob here, missionary now in Matamoros, Mexico, but he was in Peru, South America, for many years as a missionary, and he was working down in Ica, Peru. And he went in one day into a little carpenter shop there in Ica, Peru, high up in the Andes Mountains, and he began to witness to this carpenter, this man that ran this carpenter shop, and began to tell him about Jesus. And he was given the gospel to him, and the wife came in, another little short Peruvian woman. And so he began to give her the gospel too, and kind of repeated what he told the husband. And he went through the gospel again. And soon there were tears running down those little brown cheeks. And he said, wouldn't you like to come to Jesus? Wouldn't you like to come? And they said, we'd like to come. And there they bowed their heads there in the little carpenter shop. And that little Peruvian man, that little Peruvian woman called upon Jesus to save them. And Brother Bob said they raised their heads and he was shaking their hands and they were rejoicing in tears. And all of a sudden there was a pile of shavings over here and it began to shake. Wood shavings. And he thought, what in the world, you know? And all of a sudden a little brown head popped out of it. And it was their little son. And he said in Spanish, Señor, is that for me too?
Amen.
Brother Bob said, yes, sir. Yes, sir, that's for you too. And that little boy got up out of that pile of shavings, came over, and he led him to Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, I'm glad I can say to the world, yeah, that's for you. Amen. Yeah, it's for you too.
Amen.
And you, amen. Yes, and you, amen. And yes, you, for all of you. Oh, you say, I'm too far gone. No one's too far gone for God.
Right.
No one's far from God. Brother, God said, whosoever will, let him come. Boy, I tell you, I've got an invitation that's superb. It's beyond compare. Brother, there's nothing like it. Amen. Nothing like it. And yet, you know, we go out and we act like, brother, we're taking the bubonic plague or something when we take the gospel out.
Yeah.
Brother, we're not going out to tell people to go. We're telling them to come. Amen. We're not going out to tell them they're going to hell. We're going out to tell them they can go to heaven.
Amen.
I know they're going to go to hell if they don't get saved. I think they're going to hell. But brother, we're going out with a message of come. Come to Jesus. And I want to say this tonight, folks. This God that I know in the Bible, the God of this Bible, is a God who doesn't want anybody to go to hell.
Amen.
I tell you, the God of this Bible doesn't want anybody to go to hell. I tell you what I believe. I believe God weeps when a soul goes to hell. I mean, the God I know about in this Bible doesn't sit up there and say, yeah, into hell you go. I believe God weeps. I believe it breaks the heart of God. I believe, brother, that the God that I serve is not willing that any should perish.
Amen.
But that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
And so I'm out saying, come. Tall, short, skinny, fat, handsome, ugly, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, it doesn't matter.
Amen.
Come to Jesus.
Amen.
Come and be saved.
Amen.
It doesn't take the intellect. You don't have to be a brilliant man. You just have to be a sinner man. And if you're a sinner man, you can come to Jesus.
Amen.
And be saved.
Amen.
And what an invitation we've got. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, I love it.
Amen.
I love it. I tell you, I love to give the invitation. I love to give it in a home. I love to give it one-on-one. I love to give it in a group. I love to give it in a church. I love to give it on the radio.
Amen.
I love to give it. Come! Come. Come. Come to Jesus. And then the last letter of that word visit, the letter T. Boy, this is the tough one. It's the word tenacity. That is, we've got to just stick with it.
Yeah. Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
You know, most of us are good starters.
Yeah.
Huh? Man, give me a job. Amen. Will you do it? Man, I'll do it. And you take off, boy, and you're going like a house of fire, and you do it for about 6 weeks or 2 months or something, and all of a sudden Brother Kincaid looks for you, and you're gone. He can't even find you.
That's right.
Huh? Man, you know, you're like those, you'll understand this, please, don't anybody take offense to this. I don't know what they're really called today. We used to call them nigger chasers. Huh? What are they called today? I'm sorry. No racial thing intended, but that's what we knew them as. It was a deal you licked, and it chased it, went around on the floor like that. It's all over. A lot of folks like that. Boy, they take off, and they zoo for about that long, and then, that's it. They don't move. They don't make a sound. We need to stay at the job. Now I want you to see something with me tonight in Acts 26. If you'll turn there for just a minute. By the way, in case there's anybody here that would take any offense at what I just said, please. I'm not trying to start a racial conflict here. I have many precious black people in my church that I love. Man, I mean, I love to death. So that I'm just saying that's all I know those things about. I need to find out if there's another name. Is there another name for them? What are they called? Texas Chasers? Well, praise the Lord. That'll get me into more trouble, I'm afraid.
Don't take any offense to that. They call them honky chasers up there.
What do they call them?
Honky chasers,
okay. Well, okay, we'll get off that then, okay? In Acts 26. And verse 22, the Apostle Paul says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day.
Amen.
Witnessing.
Amen.
Having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing.
Amen.
What are you doing, Paul? I'm just continuing witnessing.
Right.
What are you doing, Paul? I'm just continuing witnessing. Don't you get tired, Paul? Yeah, I get tired, but I'm just going to continue witnessing. I mean, don't you get cussed out some, Paul? Yeah, I do, but I'm just going to continue witnessing. I mean, don't you have people tell you not to come back and so, yeah, but I'm just going to continue witnessing. Don't you sometimes get stoned? Yeah, I do, but I just continue witnessing. I mean, don't you get put in jail some? Yeah, I've been spent a few times in jail, but I just continue witnessing. Don't they beat you up? Yeah. Yeah, but I just continue witnessing. I continue. Boy, we need the tenacity to stay at the job.
That's right.
And stay at the job and stay at the job. Man, I'll tell you what, I've seen so many churches get caught up. I mean, they start out right, they do right, they get a group of people, and then somehow they get sidetracked. Oh, how it breaks my heart. They get sidetracked. They start trying to, you know, to keep the church going on socials and on the fellowships and on the, you know, hot dog suppers and all kinds of such stuff as that. You know, we use the term fellowship in a wrong way. Brother, when you come together to eat a hot dog, that ain't really a fellowship. That's just eating hot dogs. Amen. Fellowship is a result. It isn't something you plan. Fellowship is an outgrowth. When you do something together for God, brother, it's fellowship.
Amen.
If you're going out knocking doors together, brother, amen, with someone else, that's and you're sharing, that's fellowship. Amen. Sitting around eating a hot dog together really isn't fellowship. Amen. That's just fellow appetite or whatever. Amen. But tenacity. We need the tenacity to stay at the job.
Amen.
He said, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue witnessing.
Amen.
And you and I need to continue.
Amen.
Why? Why? Because the need.
Yes.
The need.
Amen.
Is so great. And because God's command is so plain.
Right.
Amen. May the Lord help us. Let's bow our head, please.
Amen.
Our Father, we come tonight in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank You. I thank You for Your Word, and I thank You for the Holy Spirit, Lord, who makes Your Word so real to us. And dear God, tonight, as we have thought again, Lord, about our calling to visit. Dear God, we realize, Lord, we can use terms like the Great Commission. We can use terms like soul winning. And all that, Father, and we believe in that, but oh God, we know it just comes down to just making a visit. One by one. Oh God, help us, I pray tonight. Help us as individuals. God, help us as a church. Help us, Lord, to continue. Lord Jesus, I thank You, Lord, for what You're doing, what You're going to do this week, what You've already done, and God, we give thanks to You, dear Lord, for working already in the hearts of Your people. Bless, dear God, now in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed. Let's stand to our feet for a moment, please. I'd like to invite you tonight. If God's spoken to you particularly tonight in this service, I mean in a specific way, I think we all ought to receive something every time we come. But if God's spoken to you specifically, I mean about this matter, Brother Kincaid preached about, Brother Billy preached about, I mean Brother Eddie preached about, and what I preached, if God spoke specifically to you about the need of the heathen and about what we ought to do about it, let me invite you to come tonight or just kneel there at your seat or whatever. Or we've got chairs up here. All right. Whatever. I want to invite you to come.
Amen.
I want to invite you to come. And I think it mean a great deal to you and to God if you just come and kneel down and say, God, I've lost my vision. Lord, I don't have that divine itch.
Right.
Huh? I'm not really thorough in my searching. I go out and knock on a door and if no one comes right away, I quickly go to the next door and I'm kind of glad that no one came. I'm not really a searcher. God, I haven't been given the invitation. I pass up and down through life every day and touch many people's lives. I'm not giving out Your wonderful invitation, inviting people to come. And dear God, I've lost that tenacity. I've lost it. I used to witness, but I don't witness now. Whatever it may be, I want to invite you to come to the altar tonight and just kneel down and talk to God about it. I'll tell you, God wants to get you back where you were. If you want to get back where you were, God wants to get you back there. And you go out of here tonight, I mean, refreshed and renewed, and go back out and get back at the job that you once were doing. Or maybe you've never done that. Maybe tonight, I don't know. I know in our church we have new people coming in all the time, and some have never been made aware because they've just recently been saved. They're not aware that, hey, that we are. I mean, we're God's witnesses. That every one of us in the church, that they're in a group of clergy that God's called out to do the soul winning, that God's called us all out.
Amen.
All of us out.
Amen.
And all of us supposed to be doing it. Amen. And if you're here tonight, you've never gone out after people. You've never filled your pocket full of tracts and put your New Testament there and gone out and gone down the street and knocked on door after door after door and seeking out those lost, then you need to start doing that.
Amen.
And I urge you to come and say to God tonight, God, I didn't know, but I know now. And I'm getting me a handful or a purse full, a pocket full of tracts, and get my New Testament, and I'm going to go out. And dear God, I'll take some evenings, I'll take some Saturdays, I'll take some Sunday afternoons or whatever, and I'll search, and I'll try to get people and bring them to Christ. I hope you'll come tonight. And then tonight, I don't know, there may be someone here tonight in our meetings that are unsaved. I want to say that the invitation I was talking about a while ago, that's to you. God's saying to you to come.
Amen.
He's saying, come to Jesus. You may have never come to Jesus. You may have come to religion. You may have come and joined a church. You may have accepted a set of standards or doctrines. You may have followed what you thought was God's steps in being baptized and what have you in a church or confirmed. But listen, you need to be saved.
Amen.
You need to come to Jesus. And He's saying tonight, come, all you that labor. All of you, anyone, everyone, come to Jesus. You come tonight. The pastor's going to be here to receive you. And if you need to be saved, come and say to Brother Kincaid, I need to be saved. Please pray with me. Please help me. He's here, and these other men and ladies are here to help you to know Christ and to be saved. But you come tonight. I'm going to ask that we'd have a stanza or two of invitation, and that you'd come now. Would you come right now? Don't wait for someone else. But if God's spoken to you, then would you come, please? Just come now. Just come now. Brother Jim, let me say something tonight, folks. Please don't miss what this conference is all about. It's not just to raise some more money to send those missionaries out. That is a part of it. But it's really to raise our consciousness and our awareness of the Great Commission that we all have. I don't have the liberty from God. God hadn't said to me, Joe West, you can stay home and be comfortable, and you give some money each Sunday, and you pay so these missionaries can serve down there in Mexico or in Japan or Korea or wherever, and you can stay at home, and you don't have to do it. You can just send someone out in your place. God has never said that. This conference is not only to raise funds for these missionaries that are out on foreign fields, but it's to raise a burden in our heart, a fresh and new. And somehow that we might say, oh God, I used to do that, but I don't do it anymore. And God, I want to do it. I'm hungry to do it. And God wants to raise that hunger in your heart. And God wants somehow to put it back, that burden, that vision, that holy itch inside of you, that spirit of searching and looking for sinners. Oh, listen, many of you had it when you first got saved. Man, you went out and you got your mom saved and you got your daddy saved. And man, you were concerned about your cousins and you were concerned about your brothers and sisters and so forth. But somewhere that fire burned out. And now there's nothing left. God can relight that fire. God can renew that burden. God can renew that vision. God can put it back in your heart if you'll let Him do it. And I hope you'll let Him do it tonight.
Let's sing another stanza. Brother Jim, if you come tonight, I mean, we're not counting heads, and you're not doing me a favor. Don't come to help me out or Brother Kincaid out. You come to help yourself out. You come to let God get a hold of your heart and warm and stir into fire again what was in there one time. You come tonight while we sing, Brother Jim.